Very good morning to you, my dear listener, and good morning to you, Namibia. How are you, wherever you are in this land of the brave? Thanks to Lois Shimi and her whole team for Early Morning Scoop and for keeping us abreast with what is happening in and around the country. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. And you are on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station, and you're tuning into Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just us, not just about us talking. It is about you sharing your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topic that matters most to you. And this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So today is the 29th of April. There is only one day left before we say goodbye to April. So 29th of April, and let's see what happened in Africa on this particular day. So in April 29th, also this day mark the birth of Dula Omar. You know, this South African anti-apartheid activist, in birth of Dula Omar in 1934, a prominent figure in South Africa's struggle against apartheid. Omar dedicated his life to advocating for human rights and justice, and his legacy continues to inspire generation. So, and on April 29th, 1997, the second summit of the African Cooperation Heads of State was held in Arusha, that's Tanzania. This event marked several key achievements, including the launch of the first East African Cooperation Development Strategy, the East African flag, and the East African passport. So additionally, the summit mandated the permanent tripartite commission to begin the process of upgrading the ASC agreement into a treaty. And so on April 29, 2002, Sierra Leone officially marked the end of its brutal civil war, which had lasted over a decade. A peace agreement was signed between the government and the rebel forces and international mediators, symbolizing the resilience and commitment to peace of the Sierra Leone people. And lastly, April 29th is celebrated globally as an International Dance Day in a dance day. So it's globally as celebrated as celebrated globally as an International Dance Day. In Africa, dance is a vital part of our cultural expression and community bonding. So this day highlights the continent's rich and diverse dance traditions, from traditional dances rooted in century-old customs to modern interpretation reflecting contemporary issues. So today, make a moment, take a time to shake, you know, what your mother gives you. You know, just get a moment just to celebrate this day by doing a little bit of a dance, you know, find that time in the course of the day. So, and our thought of the day on Unpacking the Day, is an honest man does not fear the knock of his door at midnight An honest man does not fear the knock on his door during on his door at midnight. I think the Proverbs convey the idea that a person who lives with integrity and truthfulness has no reason actually to fear unexpected scrutiny, challenges, or confrontation. Honesty means being prepared to account for one's action at any moment, even during unexpected circumstances. Now, the metaphor of a knock at midnight highlights the potential for sudden or urgent situation that test one's character. So the proverb serves as a reminder that living an honest life bring peace of mind and freedom from worrying about exposure or judgment. So I think, and that goes to, that's our thought of the days. Nearly said something that I shouldn't have said. So, all right. So, yeah, that's our thought of the day. So an honest man does not fear the knock on his door at midnight. So stay tuned. We will be back and with our first item on the show this morning.
Your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero o Maimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Africans, Selfwar, Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. So, the announcement of fully subsidized tertiary education for public institutions set to begin in 2026 has been met with widespread optimism, as it promises to make higher education more accessible to all Namibians. So this bold declaration by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah during her maiden State of the Nation address has undoubtedly captured the attention of students, parents, and educators across the country. However, behind the excitement lies a host of practical questions. Institution like the University of Namibia has expressed their willingness to engage with the government, but awaiting the critical details on how this subsidy will be rolled out. With only months before this announcement to take effect, question of implementation, sustainability, and quality assurance looms large. Today, on Unpacking the Day, we are joined by Simon Namesho, Public Relations Officer for University of Namibia, to find out how UNAM is preparing for this change. So good morning, Simon, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, when this announcement was made, what was the UNAM's immediate reaction to the announcement of fully subsidized tertiary education?
Yeah, Mike, for us as well, it was news.
Yeah.
Because it was the maiden, it was the first State of the Nation address by Her Excellency. And for us, it was really like positive news. When we received it, it was like, yeah, this is a correct direction where which it's going into, especially for students. And if you look at the history of how financial constraints, economical factors, socio-economical factors hinder students from either entering or either completing their studies.
Yeah.
And when we get this kind of news, we were all like, yes, this is it's a positive direction it's been, we are taking as a country.
Yeah. So when now, I know you probably haven't received yet a formal communication from the ministry or from the government. So when now you have when this was announced, has UNAM began any preliminary discussion internally about how to prepare for the 2026 rollout?
Yes. When the announcement broke 3 days ago, we started already to look at ourselves and at the institutional operation. We are already cognizant of where it stands in terms of its finances and how much it costs to offer programs, to offer individual programs, especially the very costly programs that we do offer. Mm. And what it will mean per head, what it will mean per program, what it means per campus.
Yeah.
And all these tuition fees have been looked into, and also the proportion to which the university takes in its subsidies annually, and how much proportion it gets from the tuition fee it receives at the beginning of each year.
Yeah.
And how all these things factor into the operation of the university when it comes to its finances. So we are already having that internal conversation. When we get to be contacted directly and by our line ministry or by the regulators of the higher education system, we want to be ready to make sure that we are not the one that will delay this conversation or this action at all.
Yeah. So you are waiting for the formal communication from the government. Could you elaborate on this type, on the type of formal communication UNAM is waiting for?
Yes. As you'd appreciate, Mike, the announcement was just made last week. Today is probably the third working day around this. So it will probably take some time before it then trickles down to the university. Not long, of course. We are all aware, as I said, we are all in the same spirit of what this message is all about.
Mm.
But then we would then be informed through our line ministry, most likely, or through the regulators of higher education system, it's probably through the vice chancellor, then to say we invite you to the following conversation, invite you to the following policy directions, or to the following framework conversation, which we want to implement, or some modalities that we want to think of. What is your input? So that formal conversation, which will usually happen on a formal communication, which will be probably an official letter from the ministry. Or from our regulators of the education system, inviting us to the table or just informing us on what's the way forward. So that one we're still waiting for. We keep refreshing our inboxes to make sure that when we receive it, we don't miss it and we act on it immediately.
Yeah. Are there specific aspects of this announcement framework that are critical for UNAM to begin its preparation?
Well, I think from our side, we want to make sure that we have the answers to the likely questions that might be posed, which will be to say, what is your capacity in terms of your facilities? What does it mean if there's any influx? What does it mean if you have to take in students that have probably taken gap years And all those ones that were on a gap year because of financial constraint, they come back. What would it mean to you?
Yeah.
What it would mean in terms of staff? Do you need to make sure that your staff are in there? How is your recruitment point at that point? Do you still need to recruit? Were there any recruitment that were on hold due to financial constraints? And all those questions. Are there any? What is the cost per unit to offer these programs? So we want to make sure that we have all those answers on our end. When then we get to be asked to be invited to the table and then to say, okay, how much would it likely to cost, or what is the likely operational framework you want to work around this? And remember that also the idea or the concept or the word used was also gradual. What would that mean to the university? So all those conversations, we are definitely open. But internally, we just want to make sure we are preparing ourselves to have answers to all these immediate questions that might be on the top of mind of anybody listening out there.
Mm-hmm. So what are the potential logistical challenges UNAM anticipate with this rollout?
Most of them definitely will be on the issue of capacity, because that's because we need to look at the ratio in terms of the seats in your venues. And how can you rotate yourself around your timetables to make sure that you make use of your facilities to the maximum?
Yeah.
Because the infinite here, Mike, is the capacity, the space. If we were not having that issue, we would say let's take in 40,000 students or 100,000 students a year. But we have to factor in all those aspects. And then you also have to look at quality.
Yeah.
Then you also have to look at quality assurance, which you have to meet. And we also have to look at some of our programs are endorsed or they are registered or they are supported by different bodies out there, regulating bodies and councils. So we also want to make sure that we are in harmony with that, because some programs were saying we're only taking 20 students. Then they'll say, no, up those students now to 100. We will give you the money.
Yeah.
But that's not the question that we should be asking. It should be asking in terms of capacity. How many dental chairs do you have in your labs to make sure that each student is exposed to quality education? So that conversation, that's how we would want to approach it. And then we're then doing a couple of back and forth. And then we'll just say, how is your capital investment? How are you been going? Is there any backlog in terms of any capital projects that you have? And how can we help with that, if at all? So all that aspects need to be brought to the table, so that we can see how we can then chuck down this big elephant.
So how soon, from UNAM point of view, how soon do you expect this formal communication? Because the 2026 calendar, academic calendar, is just around the corner. For you now to be able to prepare yourself.
Yes, Mike, there is about 8 months left before the end of the year. So probably we anticipate within the next 7 working days or so, and remember that we are going into May, and May has a couple of public holidays.
Yeah.
That might also check on the working days in the month. But from our side, we remain patient, of course. We put no undue expectations to our line ministry or to Your Excellency around this. There have been thoughts, of course, from their end. So while we have had the announcement, we want to make sure from our end, internally, we are ready, so that whenever we get the call, whenever we get the invitation to the table, to the conversation, we are ready, because today, as I said, this is the third day of the announcement.
Yeah.
And any time from this week or next week, when we get that invitation, we are ready from our side. We have no undue expectations.
Yeah. I know that the just few days from the announcement, and you as an institution, you're still actually preparing yourself. So now, how does UNAM plan? There will definitely increase in access, you know, and how does UNAM plan to balance that increased access with maintaining academic quality and operational sustainability?
Yes. I just want to take you back, Mike, to the aspect of capacity again in terms of our finite resource. That means we are limited in terms of capacity, in terms of the chairs in the classrooms, the capacity of our biggest lecture halls, and in terms of that's the ratio between the lecturer and the student.
Yeah.
And all those aspects, that's what will inform. And I go back to say, if UNAM annually takes about 25,000 to 30,000 students in the last 5 years, give or take, now that we have this new announcement and new position and new direction on in terms of free tertiary education in Namibia, how will it then influence the number of students who are likely to enroll at UNAM? So if we say that there will be a likely influx, do we just do that for the sake of because education is for free?
Yeah.
And then you come and sit on the stairs, or do you have to look at the aspect of capacity? And again, for example, we take for our nursing students per campus, we are by the council only allowed to take in 50 students for intake for nursing students.
Yeah.
So, and as you might know, that nursing is one of our popular programs in terms of applications. We get thousands of applications for those limited spaces. And this space is not just because we want to have 50 students. They are regulated by the council. The council looks at various factors.
Yeah.
The hospitals out there that the students are exposed to when they are doing their practicals, as well as the likely the job market out there, whether it's now locally or globally. So all those factors have to be trickled back into the decision making of saying, yes, education is now free.
Yeah.
Open up the gates for people to come in. It's not really that way around. It's also giving the university a chance to listen to the university to say, how can we help you? How can we accommodate better? And if you are saying, yes, we can say we can train hundreds nursing students per year per campus.
Yeah.
But then what do the council say? How do we have all these bodies, all these stakeholders in the conversation? So it's not just UNAM saying, yes, we'll take on the influx, we are ready. But there are also other factors that we need to take into consideration. And I think it would be appreciated if also the university can be listened to if it has any aspects to contribute.
Yeah, but even in a current status of affairs, the influx is not just limited to financial inability, problems that people don't are not affording money to pay the university, but there are also other factors, maybe like how many people are qualified actually to what actually the university require for you to enter. So it's not, I'm just trying to say this so that people don't just have an idea that, you know, now that it's free, there will be an increase in uptaking. There are other criteria that still determine, you know, how many students will be actually taken into the university. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, I can't agree anymore because I've mentioned this elsewhere to say that in this whole conversation, we have to maintain academic quality.
Yeah.
We have to look at operational sustainability, and we also have to look at the access for all deserving students.
Yeah.
And by this, we're looking at what we just mentioned now, qualifying students. So we are not going to throw out through the window any of these aspects. Qualifying students, that's definitely an important one. We are also not saying that there's a large chunk of students out there that do qualify to come to university. And perhaps one of the impeding factors was finances.
Yeah.
So, yes, so we can definitely look at all these factors. And come January next year, February next year, or during our application period, we'll also be looking at those aspects. Because now Mike will also be wanting to apply, but perhaps Mike does not qualify. And then Mike will say, no, I want to study because there's free education. That tertiary education, it shouldn't translate to that.
Yeah.
And we should all be reminded that, yes, we have to maintain academic quality. We have to look at qualifying and deserving students.
Yeah. So I quickly, let's go to the market quickly, and then I have few still questions that I would like to ask you. Just let's quickly go to the market, and we'll be back.
Thank you.
Umutiha with the Kirokabuma e Matina Onto. She calls a father and a man on the Shifa, yeah, she became a Shuana. E Moyo, or paying the Botafamily.
anangeshefa ya Namibia ongejombo naya onjika seita nina umayaguro nirandito ma ye yongeshefa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House.
Statistics show that more than 12,000 road accidents were recorded in Namibia last year. Therefore, I believe zero is the only acceptable number of accidents on our roads this Easter. It is not impossible. Be responsible, do the right thing, and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
All right. The other thing, there are other countries that provide a free tertiary education. What lesson can maybe Namibia learn from other countries that have implemented similar policies? We have Germany, I think, Norway, Finland. Yeah, I don't know in Africa if there's such a country. South Africa tried last time, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they are definitely working models out there on the globe that we can also look at. And probably the players in this conversation also look into that. But I think what is also important to look into, I think each case has its own merit and its own demerits in how we approach that. So I think for the Namibian context, we have, if you look at the nemesis of the university when it started, its existence for starting and how it was admitting students, looking at where the country was coming from and the education system it had, and looking at today's current status in terms of what it's trying to achieve and its global players and what tertiary education plays when it comes to national development. So all those aspects have to be looked into instead of just a straightforward copy and paste. Yes, there are inherent factors that you want to look also at other countries that tried and perhaps did not manage or didn't succeed yet to go fully in terms of free tertiary education. And I think one also should also appreciate definitely the drive and the interest to go for free tertiary education, because there is an inherent benefit for the country, especially in the long term.
Yeah.
But back to us, definitely I would go back to and say, we have so much to benefit if we go in that route. It should just be managed, and definitely all questions should be put on the table, and all concerns should definitely be raised and looked into. I think UNAM, if you look at it, it has access, it's 12 campuses countrywide. What will that mean in terms of access to education to those localities?
Mm-hmm.
Those people who are saying, I can only afford accommodation fee, but perhaps not tuition fee. What did it mean to those people in those pockets of society?
Yeah.
In the long term. So all those factors, yes. For us, let's look at the merit and the demerit of the conversation.
How does UNAM see the private sector contributing to the successful implementation of this initiative?
For us, I think the university, we have been very grateful and appreciative of the various private industry players that have been partners with the university. Whether now it's in our different disciplines, whether it's in geology or whether it's in medicine or whether it's in teaching, where we have access to high schools and to primary schools where our students will do their practicals. So all these players definitely have the important parts.
Yeah.
We should not, just because special education is free and then we still do not need private industry, not at all, because afterwards most of the students or half of the students go and practice in private.
Yeah.
Or they get employed in private. And plus, also, they remain a key stakeholder, especially in the academic programs development, or when we have to reevaluate our programs, we do have those players come in and look into the quality of the programs and say, can I have input in your academic programs at this juncture? And then 4 years later, when the course gets reevaluated, they are part of that. But another component is industry being present on UNAM campuses. In terms of when we have issues that they want to be solved, we have now various players coming onto campus and say, I want to set up shop on campus where your students can be exposed to my problems so that I can benefit from their solutions, from their innovation, and then it can translate into my practices in my business. So we are seeing it in pharmacy, we are seeing it in geology, we are seeing it also in dentistry. So all this part, we are having players on campus that are from industry that we benefit as a win-win relationship. So definitely private players and industry players, companies and institutions may be a key stakeholder in university education.
Yeah. The other thing is maybe the impact on how this initiative would have the impact on student and probably the staff as well. So will this subsidy cover all costs associated? I know that you still have to understand many other things as time goes, but will this subsidy, given now how the operations are, will this subsidy cover all costs associated with tertiary education, or are there areas where students will still need to contribute?
Yes, Mike. I think, I think at the moment we are still at the early part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And the one thing that was, of course, made clear or in the announcement was that its tuition fee, in some spaces it's understood as school fees. So that element is the one that is being considered to be fully subsidized by government.
Yeah.
But the other element that involves your tuition, many your university fees, which accommodation and transport and your daily costs, those ones will then still be continuing to be borne by the students and their guardians or their sponsors and their parents.
Mm.
So that aspect, for now, that understanding is then already established by the announcement. But any other detailed aspect of what tuition fee is all about will then, of course, be discussed in the conversation that will happen. And remember that when you talk about tuition fee, what is that? The whole word, it's one word that has so much in it. Lead fees, technology fees, and all those aspects that comes to it. And then the cost per unit, per head, the students to run a particular program. And this varies for each program because of the input into the program or the necessary ingredients that involves conducting that particular course or the expertise that are required in that course. So all those factors will then be looked into when it comes to tuition fees. But that is a conversation that is probably at this point premature to have.
Yeah.
We want to not preempt anything until then that conversation is happening and starting.
Yeah, overall, you probably mentioned this at one point. How do you see these initiatives shaping the future of higher education in Namibia?
Mike, I think this, as and many would guess, it has positive trajectory.
Yeah.
And we see it in the same light. Because the moment you have a nation that is educated not just at primary or secondary level, but also at tertiary education level, there are some inherent benefits in that. That means out of 10 people, if you have not only 3 out of 10 that are educated at tertiary level, but perhaps 8 out of 10 that are educated at tertiary level, there are inherent benefits. The conversation would differ, the arguments would differ, the debate in community would be different. And I think that is a long-term goal that is considered positive for any community or nation.
Yeah.
But then back to us, how that will benefit is that then it will improve research, it will improve innovation for us, because then we know that there are different players, participants in these pockets, because then many people will understand what and how to conduct research and how to translate those community problems into research questions and how to solve those challenges with research aspects,
yeah,
with technical education. If you have a number of people coming from a community, 10 people coming from that community, and 8 of them are all IT, 8 of them are all IT qualified people, what do it mean to that community compared to when you only have 1 or 2 out of 10 from that community who are having software development qualification?
Yeah.
So there's probably a higher adoption of saying, let's come up with an app that can solve this issue in our community, because many of us understand what this means in terms of software development, in terms of engineering, in terms of psychology or social work elements, all those things, because the higher percentage of your community is then tertiary education exposed.
Yeah. So, and what message would you like to share with students and parents and stakeholders about UNAM's commitment to this transformative initiative?
I think one is just to say that the university will continue to maintain its academic profile, its quality. We will definitely always look at deserving students that qualify for our programs.
Yeah.
That's very important to uphold from the word go, and not to mistaken to say teacher education equals to me going to university just because it's free.
Mm.
That's a big element. And then I think the next one is just to give a chance, to everybody to participate in this conversation and listen to one another, because I think there's so much to benefit
if
we listen to each other, because there are community members there and community members, leaders out there that have varied points to this conversation. To say, what about if you introduce it this way gradually, if you introduce it that way gradually?
Mm.
So let them find avenues to channel their inputs into this conversation. I think that's very important. And I think from the university side is that, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, to say that we are readying ourselves. We are ready in terms of answering questions. We are ready to participate in the conversation of free tertiary education. And moving forward, we want to make sure that we participate very constructively at this conversation to make sure that this aspect is definitely a win-win for all parties involved in the conversation.
Yeah. And just to maybe a question to that, how can the public stay informed about UNAM's role and progress in this journey?
Absolutely. UNAM remains a public institution and university. It's a national university. It's a national institution.
Yeah.
Where many or all of us have a stake, one way or the other. We do always participate in conversation. We always avail ourselves. Like now, me talking to you is one of the many ways that information flows from the university to the public.
Yeah.
And there are also many people that send me inboxes on my emails or the institution emails to the various colleagues. On aspects around this announcement, whether it's now positive criticism or whether it's just constructive ideas that they want to bring forward.
Yeah.
So those are various avenues, yes. And then I think one should also just be willing to say if there's any public platforms conversation that is happening, they should be come forward and raise their hand to say, I have 2 cents to contribute to this aspect.
Yeah.
But definitely me being invited back to your platform, maybe a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, we might be discussing this topic in a very different angle, given new development, given more detailed information we have around this.
Any last word that you would like to tell our listeners?
Just to appreciate the opportunity and just to appreciate that they are always willing to support the university. I cannot forget to mention that we just finished our graduation season this April with over 3,800 graduates that just went into the market.
Mm.
And just to mention that the university is open for all. We had people who are in correctional facilities graduate walking the stage this April, Mike. And we had a 74-year-old lady graduate with a master's degree.
Yeah.
We had people visually impaired, people in wheelchair bound, with different abilities and disabilities walk this. So it's definitely an opportunity, and each one should claim a stake. And if one is not fully aware of what is my likely opportunity, please come forward to conversation with us, inquire with the university on how you can help improve your professional or your career perspectives, and just in general, your education.
All right. So, Mr. Navesha, thanks for joining us and for sharing your insight. So definitely we will follow up with you when all become clear, and just to see where are you in terms of this announcement. So thank you for coming through today and making yourself available to talk to our listeners.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for the invitation, and appreciate your listeners. And yes, please, anytime, I'm available.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right. So when we come back, we open up our line for your follow up and your questions and your comments and your input. Stay tuned.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM, the eye. Wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. That's right. Accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and to so much more features. Or what you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app and you are good to go. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news and latest policy development, make sure that you also subscribe to our e-newspaper, The Villager, that comes every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. All you need to do is just send your WhatsApp message, just to send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, and also don't forget our social media platform. They are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product visibility. So, and contact us for any other advertisement that you may want to do with us. Contact us at 083-288-400. All right. So yeah, now you may want to come through. I have now opened my line. If you want to contribute and you want to share and comment and have your opinion on our discussion with Mr. Namesho, please do come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So the line is open for you now to have your comment or your opinion. We started yesterday or day before yesterday, Monday. Today is Tuesday. Yeah, no, yesterday. So we wanted to give it a little bit of have a different perspective from we have Mr. Yesterday we have Salomo Hay, and who is an economist, giving us his perspective from that angle, and also we have a lecturer, but also giving us as an educator rather than as an institution. And today we wanted to to look at this from an institution of learning, like UNAM, point of view, to see, to just what is the institution thinking rather than on a person's, on his own capacity as a, as an individual and his own opinion, but from an institution point of view. So we wanted to give you this broader, you know, perspective, for you also to make, right, to have informed, decisions or opinion, about this process. So, yeah, what is your opinion? What's your contribution? And what is your take of this? So our telephone number again, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. You have a right to come through and have your opinion. Yeah. Maybe I can also add to that. While you come in, you can come through, but you can come through. And, to add to that, actually, it's, maybe it's another, another part, another section, another opinion on that matter. So I'm looking for that. Yeah. In yesterday's edition of The Villager, there's a story by Justicia Shipena that discuss themes and challenges of free tertiary education at public universities and technical center by 2026 might change or shape the country's education landscape, and that was the topic on that on that article, is that the NACC say free tertiary education unlikely to disrupt competition for now. So yeah, there is no this is not a small decision, as you can see, that is something that is discussed everywhere, because it touches on every on everything from access to education and economic growth to the sustainability of private institutions and the realities of also unemployment. It's a lot of aspect that actually included in this initiative. So maybe let's while I'm waiting for you to come through and maybe react to our discussion with Mr. Simon Namesho, the public relations officer of UNAM. So let's unpack some of these themes and dig a little bit deeper in the article. So but you're most welcome to come through. You can come through at any time. I'm just using this as a complimentary to what we discuss with Mr. Namesho. So at any time you can come through, and our telephone number again from Ondango Studio, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So now from the, if we look at the article, so the President Nanti Ndaitwa, you know, announcement has really positioned Namibia alongside other countries like Germany, Finland, nations lauded for their free education system. So, but when you think about it, you know, Namibia is definitely not Germany or Finland, so Namibia is, we are ourselves are grappling with youth unemployment, limited fiscal space, a dual system of public and private education that are also an issue, which we don't know. I think in today's newspaper, I don't know which one, but I have read it somewhere where that maybe it's going to also be looked into to see if student from private institution may be also supported to do to for their education as well. So we Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
No, it's damn good.
yeah. But is your application working now?
Yeah, now it's working.
Oh, God. Thank God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
We haven't heard your voice for a while, you know. I was starting to be concerned about, you know, what happened to Uncle Bona, you know.
No, that's a genuine concern, my brother.
Yeah, I was starting to be concerned, really. Yeah.
Yeah, what is that the illustration in the Bible that say when one out of nine, two or something like that, when one sheep is lost.
Yeah.
So a lot is, you know, yeah. One needs to be concerned is not an entity.
Yeah, no, there so are, now yeah, go ahead. Mm.
Yeah, no, that it has not been good also to me.
All right.
Yeah, when you cut off from, you know, those kind of social interaction and others,
yeah.
It became very stressful.
Yeah.
But no, now that I'm back, I'm happy.
No, I'm also happy that you are able now to listen to us, yeah. Mm.
You know, Eagle is positioned in such a way that just like in line actually with what is happening now,
yeah.
What you're discussing.
Mm.
So it's an education, accessible and the quality and all these other ingredients are embedded in it.
Yeah.
So, and it's true, it's a good thing, you know. That those visions and dreams are being realized.
Yeah.
And we support the political and all the administration. We support them. Like you said, sometimes implementation becomes a big problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, and like the university spokesperson was saying, is that correct?
Yeah,
so some of these things need to be translated into serious action.
Yeah.
So if you have got these people here who are not having access to education, maybe because of funding or other sectors, and they can be really dealt with, we are very happy, and we can see, I hope we see development even within our community here.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing, man.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I don't think I have met anyone who say this. Of course, there are people who have concerns in terms of, as you said, when it comes to implementation, questions where the money would come from and all that, which is genuine. Yeah, but I don't think there's anyone who would think that is a bad idea at all. Yeah.
Yeah, money is created. Yeah. If we can have money, if we can able to initiate some development projects, especially in the community.
Yeah.
In the community here, my brother, where we have got more energetic youth, and I heard the focus is also on youth empowerment, and we really need to close those kind of holes. I'm sure the country was making, it will make a progress. So I was in the taxi lesson in Windhoek there.
Yeah.
And it was early in the morning. So, you know, early in the morning, if you pass through some of those areas there, you see people in the morning around 5-6 there in the bar. Mm. And the young men ask me, oh, but this country is progressing. I say, why? Why is it so? Why are people staying in the bar this time around here? Outside. I say, oh, there is money there, my brother. It's just that the way we utilize the money, our priority may be misplaced.
Yeah.
And these guys, and you can see now, the reason why the political leadership and things like that are looking at those issues is perhaps it's because maybe the economy is picking up.
Yeah.
They might have also made some investment. I think in terms of investment, you can always plug somewhere there and reorganize yourself. And I think this is really development because it's focusing, people-centered, development or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
Confirming really the people and the need of the people. Because when you are investing in your education,
mm.
know what happened to Zimbabwe. So they did that. So they, you know, they could see the result. Even here, the results are trickling here, even in our country here. You see with most of the Zimbabweans, the other colleagues, our brothers and sisters. So it's because they were not denied that kind of education.
Yeah.
The apartheid system and the colonialism and things like that, they really squeeze us on that area. Now that our people are coming, we thank God for them.
Mm.
So I think it's fine, my brother. Let me listen and hear more, since I've been absent for some time.
Yeah.
But I think I'm catching up now.
You know, thanks. It's good to have you back, you know.
Thank you, my brother. God bless.
All right.
Good.
All right. Our time, it's about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And you're most welcome to come through. So we're talking about education, free education, a free tertiary education. You're most welcome to come in with your own, completely with your own opinion. So we try to bring you different perspective from different people, from different institutions, just to enrich you a little bit, to enrich your understanding and help you to have an informed opinion as well. So, yeah, our telephone number again, if you want to come through and share your opinion, share your what do you think? Participate on the show as well, on the program, and contribute. Our telephone number is 08-333-66091. So do come through and have your your share or your contribution on the program. Yeah, I was, as I said, I was also looking at the story in our yesterday's, edition of the Villager, that also looking at the education. Yeah. And, I wanted us to go through that as I want to go through that as you come through. So you're most welcome still to come through. Don't wait until I'm finished. I'm just filling up, time. I'm filling up that time while you're coming through. So I'm waiting for you, to have your opinion on this matter. Maybe on our discussion, with Mr. Namesho, or your own reaction generally to the whole, announcement of the president. So you're most welcome. Yeah. And, as I said earlier, the policy, really aimed to, one, look at now, if I'm looking through the story, the article. So this policy is aims to reduce inequality. But also one have to look at, you know, some other challenges that may come as a consequences, as a result of when it comes to implementations, you know, are there other probably challenges that may come as a result of that, that unintentionally this implementation may be probably widen also other important issues or factors. Or even service. I just give you a quick example. For example, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that when you focus on some one thing, there could be other things that being left out, which is equally important. Like the president decided, which also one can understand, decided that, okay, we're not going to increase the old age social grant because we want to use that money for to focus on the youth. You see that? So it is very important for the old people as well. So, but then because of this urgent need that we want to address, definitely the old people suffered in the meantime. So that's what I'm trying to say, that unintentionally it might widen other issues, you know, and especially when it comes to to other important services as well. So, and while the promises are clear, greater access to higher education, you know, the other issues that other people are raising is that, can it deliver sustainably? Can it deliver sustainable results? So, yeah, so those are some of the things comes up. So let's look at the themes, the key themes that are coming out of this, key themes and challenges that are coming out of the article. So please do come through. As I said, if you're listening, if you're just joining us, I was discussing with Simon Amesha, the public relations officer of UNAM. We just wanted to broaden this discussion, to have also an institution looking at this. How do they see this? How do they see this announcement from the president? So, and also, as I said yesterday, we also have other people that we brought in to discuss this as well. Just we wanted to broaden the perspective and also understanding for you and inform to have an informed opinion based on various speakers or people from different angles. All right. So, and also we're looking at that as well in this article. So themes that are coming out of this article. One is the accessibility versus the practicality. Yeah. So the policy, or it's not a policy yet. I don't know why I'm saying the policy. So, but it's meant to be a policy in the end anyway. So this announcement, or yeah, let's say, for example, for argument's sake, you know, not argument's sake, but it should be a policy. So, but it's going to be a policy anyway. So the policy removes financial barrier for student from disadvantaged background. And this move has the potential to really uplift families and communities, and increasing the number of skilled individuals entering now the workforce. Imagine coming from, you know, where maybe certain place in Okongwati, or in some way in on Dobe, in Nohangwena, or somewhere, you know, where now could have somebody who have done very well, pass, you know, with good really points that would allow him to be admitted. So, but now he couldn't do that. Previously couldn't do that, because of where he's coming from. So this, definitely, has a potential to uplift, you know, as I said, communities and families. So, and that would also then increase, skilled individuals in different areas. So, but accessibility is just the beginning. So, according to the article, what about the infrastructure and the capacity of our public universities? And I think this is what we were focusing on with Mr. Namesha this morning. So that he also said, we need first of all to have a formal discussion with the ministry and our stakeholders so that we can know, you know, where do we need to actually change or build the capacity given the announcement and the initiatives. So I think that's also what Mr. Namesha have discussed, that we discussed this morning. So the infrastructure and capacity of our public universities. So now with free education, enrollment is expected to increase, and also make it category clear that the other procedures of admission still actually in place. It's not just because it is there will be now free education, that would mean that, you know, all other requirements of admission were just thrown out of the window. So that's what happened. So there will still be other requirements that still be enforced for a matter of quality and also, you know, sustainable for sustainability as well. So yeah, with now the freedom, with now the free education, enrollment is expected to increase. Yeah. Then are the UNAM and NAST equipped to handle the demand without compromising quality? Those are some of the questions that I have asked. Will we see overcrowded lecture halls and or overburdened? There could be also then overburdened educators, because you might need actually to also hire more educators, hire more lecturers to attend to overcrowded, to attend to an increase in enrollment, increase of students. All right. So that also something that has been the other, what is that? The other maybe themes coming out of the articles, Namibia's education ecosystem include, private universities that cater to, diverse academic needs. And while the Namibian Competition Commission, the NACC, has really downplayed the concern about the immediate competition disruption, so the long-term implications are not really clear. So as much as we are happy of the announcement, we still don't know the long-term implications. And then I think, and also the Namibia Competition Commissions indicating they see, well, at this point in time, they don't see, they are not concerned about immediate competition disruption. So, but well, in the future, that is not really clear. So no, the private institutions rely on tuition fees to sustain themselves. Will free public education pushes them into financial distress? Would that pushes them into maybe student not taking up courses on this institution and prefer to move to public institution? So will it force, or maybe that would also an opportunity, could be an opportunity where it forces now the private universities to be more innovative and become more attractive. So, and it also from the article, from the stories also indicate that maybe scholarship and financial aid might help bridge the gap. But can these solution keep pace with market realities, you know? So yeah. So those are some of the themes and challenges that are coming out of the story. So the other thing is the economic economic viability, if you like. Who foots the bill? So implementing free education is as we all see that it's a noble goal but it comes at a cost. So the government has promised to shoulder the burden, but with Namibians' strained budget, how sustainable is this? So how sustainable that is this? So the idea maybe of, you know, doing this in phases, which definitely when the whole strategy comes out, how this is going to be implemented, probably we'll be able to see and make a proper analysis. Yeah, some have suggested partnership with the private sector. A question that I have also asked Mr. Namisho. But also one have to really maybe come up with some kind of incentives that would make the benefit that the business people want to contribute. You know, what would be the incentives for the business?
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. So today we continue looking at the president's announcement about the free tertiary education, and we wanted to bring you also the perspective from the institution side. And we have Mr. Simon Nasimane, Mr. Namisho from the public relations officer from UNAM, giving us his insight, from, UNAM, perspective. Yeah. So, and overall, we would like to hear your reaction if you were listening, but also your understanding and your opinion of this groundbreaking, as many have referred to, this groundbreaking announcement. We still, quite a lot of us, many of us are still actually in shock, you know, of this announcement. So what do you think? What is your opinion? So please do come through, and then we talk.
You got a fam? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, my love.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm alright, my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I listen, but I find you already like almost on conclude with the interview of Dr. Namisho.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I think I got some information, like the way there's a miscommunication between the president and the university. It's like there's no communication.
Yeah, so they're just waiting for a formal communication from the government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a way some of us were like, okay, these things are doable. It can be done, but us, we just don't want something once off, then again to be stopped somewhere there. No, we want something to be continually.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's why I think the consultant is supposed to take place first.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the government and the university.
Yeah, yesterday, what is that, Mr. Salomo was talking about a process of research with first paper, a white paper, and then the blue paper. Mostly those kind of research are kind of like tools that would help you eventually to make a decision based on an informed decision. Well, I'm not saying that the president hasn't made that decision with is not informed. Yeah, but he also highlighted two things which are very important. Like through the much of the emphasis is on SWAPO implementation. I mean, the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, which through their campaign they have never, you know, campaigned for a free tertiary education.
Yeah.
And also the budget hasn't when it was now the
tabled, nothing like that.
Yeah, hasn't reflected that. Yeah, it's like something that has just come from nowhere. Yeah. So, and I think that's a concern he was highlighting from his point of view. Yeah. So, and that's probably the point that you're making, that, well, we don't just want something that is something good, but we don't just want something that temporarily, but, not in 2 years or 3 years, we started to think we don't have money. Where are we going to get money to, you know, to support this and all that? And we all go back again to, you know.
Yeah.
So that's that's the point you're making. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, we've been crying for it. And I think for us, maybe to focus first also is that, at least at the universe, maybe government able, like in the way they are putting up free education now.
Yeah.
But especially when it comes to secondary, maybe we can continue the way we used to. Because now we remember what they say, education is free.
Yeah.
But we are buying books for ourselves. We are paying school contribution, which has come also with 1,000 and so on.
Yeah.
And the book is also going up. So a kid wants, at least government, they able to take that pressure when it comes to university.
Yeah.
We understand, because I'm telling you, my friend, me, I'm also owing nasty. I think it's somewhere around 16,000 there.
Yeah.
For just three modules, which I'm still left with it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm supposed to be graduated already a long time. But serious, it's very expensive. And the moment, because now, remember, we are so parents, and you are so educating yourself. At the same time, you're serving kids after you, up to you. So, it's hard in this economy which we live in.
Yeah, no,
and there's no job in the market. That's the problem again.
Yeah. And
the little which you are getting is the one which you have to divide all.
One thing that I got from, which I asked him actually, I got from Simon Namesho, is that I think there is an, of course, as much as if a student, let's say for example, if a student somewhere in the rural area got good mark, you know, good points to university. Previously, they may not have actually, they may not be able to, if they didn't get a student loan, they may not be able to continue their studies. So, but now they, you know, that opportunity is open to everybody wherever they are. So, but the one thing one has to understand is that the process are not going to be thrown out of the window just because the education is free.
It's free, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
There's still criteria.
If you are qualified or not, you cannot, making the grade.
Yeah, there's still criteria of qualifications, and probably to be even stricter, you know, given that, you know, there's a possibility of mass, you know, influx in the university. So, yeah, that it won't really, it's an access to those who are deserving, you know, who are merited. So, but I don't think it's now open to like, okay, now everybody can just go.
And that is a perception what the people have.
Exactly.
In the street. Yeah, but it's not going to happen the way they think.
And soon that we're going to complain again that because previously there could be like, there's always advantage and disadvantage. You know,
exactly.
Previously, you might not have done well in terms of point. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe your points were not, but the person who have done well has no opportunity
to go to the university
and then you are taken instead. You know, because your parent maybe can afford. Understand?
Exactly.
So that will go away because the one who will be given preference are those who actually have done well academically. And as you can see, as I said, there will be always some disadvantage, you know, in any situation.
It's always like that because there's nothing like a for free Maele.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it this way because now if you look, so many of, especially the people who are doing bridging course.
Yeah.
they'll become also, I think, this time it will not be on the line. Maybe if, but the way I'm looking is if they are taking, going to take people who are qualified.
Mm.
Then I'm sure there are a lot of people who are qualified. And now remember now, even us who are already graduates,
yeah.
Post-graduates, we are also coming because we want to study. It's a free education.
Yeah.
Now, I think somehow, and this is the moment I think we need also what they called, the one who was offering diplomas, the education.
Yeah.
When it comes to, college. Mm. This is the time I'm thinking of college also, to come back.
Yeah.
Because there will be a lot of people going to be left out also.
Mm. I think there will be some other opportunities that would emerge. Out of this situation. Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the, because I'm where I come from, vocation training.
Mm.
I think it will be opportunity for them also, instead of Nandeba to fund one student. Now it's a hard time also Nandeba to look at this because now the government is taking over.
Yeah.
What about Nandeba to manage to buying the equipment? Mm. The needed one. Because now remember, we have the up-to-date machinery, which have been used by our trainees.
Yeah.
But if government is taking over, I think it's a private sector, they have to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when it comes to either machinery, a lot of things they can offer.
It's one thing I was just saying a few minutes ago that, what about the private sectors? But there must be some incentives for private sectors. Private sector wouldn't just come in for the sake of we are private sectors and we should be. There must be some kind of incentives, for them to come. Like, would there be tax break, for example, maybe for the for the one, or maybe
we are contributing.
Exactly. Or maybe greater influence in shaping the curriculum. They must be, maybe they are also involved in shaping the curriculum based on their enterprises. And also, there must be some kind of incentive for the private sector.
For us, we can, I'm sure we can start in if we like, even the first quarter which you are giving individual.
Yeah.
We start giving it intuition. Because remember one thing that there are a lot of things needed. Especially when it comes to equipment and so on. You talk about even material what is needed. There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, university, they're able to be able to find their own, like students who are already done. Let me say now, we have people who are doing what? It's a network or what? Not network, what the question? They can able to do even overall.
Mm.
Remember that, when it comes to like vocation, I don't know where they're getting their overall, but mostly of them, they refer kids to go to PEPs. And the people, they don't contribute anything when some doses are being offered people.
Yeah.
It's a hard time also to look in this area where we can eat even the vocation. They're able to have what? There are people who are doing what? Just their overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we can expand it to the companies. The company can come to buy from VTC or whatever, Windows VTC or Kakalara VTC.
Yeah.
Their overall. As long as we're operating in that area. And when they're also talking about the servicing of the cars, maker, we have the trainees who are already done mechanics. They're able to help the government halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah. To those. Seriously, I think it's a hard time. This thing of tender, we can have it, but not in the large number the way we are doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trainees, they need to take over. Seriously.
Yeah, no, it is possible. Just that we need to, we really need an effective way and a framework that is more effective, in implementing, what is intended. You understand? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me end up there, Mike.
No, thank you for coming through.
All right,
and for your
thank
contribution
you.
As well. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So what are you saying to come through and have your say as well? Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Eagle FM.
Good morning to you.
Good, Dr. Yeah. How are you in the morning?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
It's possible.
It's possible.
No, I listened this morning to a gentleman who came on online from UNAM.
Yeah.
I think his idea is good. But what I've learned now from there also, is, you see, supply and demand. You understand?
You're listening. Yeah.
Why most things we are saying are expensive?
Yeah.
Remember they say the council would decide how many students you should take. So then you have got less supply on the market.
Yeah.
The demand becomes so. The demand is high. Then the second part will be, so the institution fees will be going high because there's too much competition. So that's why you realize that certain things, it was made for others to live well than others. Somehow. Everybody has got his own opinion, they can argue one way or the other. Why am I saying so? Because you look at it this way. The other idea of free education is, I was one of the people, let me be honest with you, I think most of the people, not only me, you know you passed.
Yeah.
Now you are thinking, the 12 is done. It was a little bit cheaper then. Going to invest one more job. It's costing these days, I think it's more than 4,000 now, And when I came to Poly by then, that time, thank God, you know, the registration was not so high. I think it was 500, if I'm not mistaken, or 200 and something.
Yeah.
That's what I paid. And if you pay that one, you've got access to everything. Then, but I didn't have a loan. Now, in the last minute, but I was not the only one. I think by that time we were three. Two guys, I think we were two guys from the north, Rumbleland, and then I think it was me. No, the other friend of mine, yeah. Well, I think we were even five. Now, you know, we are somewhere towards April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you don't have the money. You know, you have to buy books. And books, you know, these guys, at least when you're at school, you know, you understand the school life,
Yeah.
Wish. Sharing is always there. So these other guys that this one had, they could share with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we went one day. You remember, maybe if you could remember, there was Miss Biekas there at the...
Poly.
At Nassau.
Oh.
Yes. Miss Biekas. Then we went there. We told her, So we wanted to go find out if our buzzer is whatever. At that time it was called buzzer is whatever. Maybe they will be approved or whatever. Then she told us, I think the things don't look good. You know, we were coming from there to come and back and go home. You get what? Now, look at this situation now. The only thing you have is, if we don't get the guys, there's no old people, we don't have money.
Yeah.
We have to go back to Katima.
Yeah.
But there's nothing we can do. It's not because I don't want. You see?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying free education, people must be really, even if other people are not happy about it, some of us who have passed through that, you know, in the last minute, then that may experience that, no, come tomorrow. Yes. Then we went back tomorrow. Politics there was tight as there. Then she gave us the letter.
Yeah.
I talk about you. It was just a promise that you get the bazaars. Then we came to Polytech there. We gave them those letters. You know, there was a small bookshop somewhere under down there. You know, this big building there with the gray one there?
Yeah.
And there was a bookshop there. Yeah. That's where we went and got our books. Immediately.
Yeah.
Now, I asked myself, if that opportunity, we could not get it. And today, we have contributed much to the nation, to be honest with you.
Yeah, not definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we ask yourself, if that opportunity was not offered to us by those two people, that the Titus and the Miss Biekas, where would have been today?
Mm.
Would have been anyway. Would have taken maybe a wrong career.
Yeah.
You see? Because most of the people were engineers, were doing engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of my friends are in the mines. They worked for Namdev. Some of them, they are working for OSAB, you know. Some of us, the other guys are working for NAMPOWER, Telecom. We cannot be, we know each other.
Yeah.
And that we struggled, you know.
Mm.
And it's us now today who are here. And then somebody tells me that this education is not possible to fund it, please. Seriously. You know, the potential you are going, because we have lost potential people who could have done massive changes in the country, but because they did not have.
Yeah.
So they had to give up.
Mm. And also, Mr. What I said, Nameshwar is exactly made the same point that, you know, there are a lot of people coming underprivileged who might have done well, but they couldn't get the opportunity. This is this would be the opportunity, you know.
I saw one girl, man, we did the interview some time back with her. This girl we interviewed one time from Congo. The girl, the way she came to attend the interviews. But what was in her brain? No, the girl was smart. Look, you can see the other people are smart outside. Eh? And other people are just smart in there. You can see this is a smart person.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. But the privilege, you know, it's not there. So if this free education is coming and be funded, I like the gentleman, the way he humbled himself for saying, no, let's wait, it's too early to comment.
Yeah.
Other people come with the question, it's not possible. No, how are you going to? And let's sit together. Let's understand where is the potential. We always said, look, even soccer, today soccer is not so good. You can agree with me that Nigerians are better than us when it comes to soccer.
Definitely. Yeah.
But how do they discover their talent? In the rural areas. Yes. You know? In the rural areas, there's a dang them. Where do they come from? People just discover you from either asking this person. You see?
Yeah.
Yes. And then, but there are people who don't have that privilege. If you come with sports also, in sports is the ministry, the way they are going to do it, let it do it from
Like you're referring to soccer, which team actually have won the Namibia newspaper cup?
Newspaper, yes.
Of course, it's a team from a rural area.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see?
From a rural region, if you like. Yes. Yeah.
And they don't have those facilities. You go to them, they're just traveling here and there. And you can see, travel in the rural areas, around the 17 hours, you find almost the kids are just there at this. Compared to us here, maybe here in Komasdal, we won't find people. People will find some of those guys who are in Katutura. In most of the Katutura areas, you get there's a playground, but it's gravel. You know, they are playing in the gravel. But it's so sweet and nice, you know, you cheer, you do, you know. The tenants are there, but do the banks and our other private sector, do they go there and invest there? No. What do they tell us? If they call, they want something to be done, they'll call all of us to come to Zoo Park. Eh? They'll be cycling.
Yeah.
They'll call all of us to come to wherever, Olympia. There'll be hockey. They'll call all of us to go away. You know, they don't go to Katutura. If they'll stay to Katutura, no, we are going to end up in Katutura. You know?
Yeah.
But where are the people, the young people, the people who don't have the privilege to get a bicycle, to own a bicycle?
Mm.
You see? These people, these young people, they have talents in soccer and would have produced a lot of good players.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. It's all about investment. It's all about investment. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Let's start here and see. You'll see very soon we can make a Brave Warriors, the young under whatever. They'll be super.
Yeah.
You know? We'll be able to watch me and you, the 17 hours, the soccer is going to happen there. The guys are going, the boys are going to play. We'll miss the week. Then we'll get warnings the following morning that, no, you guys would not, you know. That's how sweet soccer is. In countries where there's soccer, Mike, to be honest with you, you know, it's something that you are discussing. It's like something, it's an event, biggest event that is coming, like God will be coming next week. People are discussing soccer.
Yeah.
Eh? That is going to be played next week. And they are betting.
Yeah.
And I think, if you look at this guy, if he will be in his form, I know, it's so sweet that you don't discuss about crime, you discuss about nice things.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they say, look, sports helps in avoiding crime.
Yeah, Yeah.
Sometimes we might blame these young people. We throw a lot of young people in our education system. Grade 10, since it started, if you fail grade 10, you're out. Eh? Or you go to NAMCO. NAMCO is also expensive. Now, it's only affordable by those who can afford. You see, now again.
Yeah.
You see, now, you know how many lives are we throwing away? One day, these same lives will come and bite us.
But yeah, one thing that I appreciate, I think, about the president is allocating money to constituency to actually come up with a playground or stadium.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means when you look at some of these town council and municipalities, not many of them actually, you know, prioritize, you know, a recreation area for young people.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and we complain young people are just at the bars and what, but they are not recreation area where they can go and play.
Before you go to the bar.
Yeah.
You want them also to come to the bar, but at the same time you're writing in the bar, not people under 18.
Hmm.
Now, where do you want them to go?
Exactly, yeah.
What do you want them to engage into? You know? So that part, sports is very critical and it's helpful.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they've become a priority for this administration.
Yes, definitely, because especially the more we supply, we produce nurses, the more we produce doctors. I don't care how many. If all of us can be, we can produce as the whole country be educated country, it's better.
Yeah.
Not that I might why. It's better if you are all educated. Then the crisis comes. You have got the resources.
Mm.
Now you are not educated. Now you are looking for a doctor. Where will you get a doctor in 2 days?
Yeah.
I always tell this. I used to tell my siblings and my kids, I tell them, it's better to pass and not get a job.
Yeah.
Eh? You know what I mean?
Rather because than and being uneducated and unemployable.
Yes, be educated and you don't have a job. There will be one day somebody will come.
Yeah.
Looking for a person, you are there. You see.
Mm.
You never know when. So it's better to be ready, prepared. That's why she even came and mouthed, "Preparedness is the greatest weapon you can ever have."
Yeah.
Yes. Prepare yourself. Now, even if these guys will say no, the council, whatever. Let me tell you one thing. Us at Polytech, when we went there, you know, engineering. By the time we started, it was like people pass. They were allowed only 4 people to graduate.
So, yeah.
And you come in as 50. You see, and then all of some friends, our friends left behind. But it's not a problem. What I'm trying to say is, They are saying the space is small, but the more we produce, the better.
Mm.
Because even other countries, we can talk about like the way Cuba do. We have got more oversupply. Other countries, our neighbors need the skilled workers, skilled workers. We supply. You see, they get the jobs there. Government, you see, there's something we do in Cuba, Cuba does to us.
Yeah.
It's better.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. Those that, you have got a lot of population, maybe we are now 20 million or 10 million. Eh? And only 2 million is educated.
Yeah.
8 million, you know. And then there is a shortage of staff skills in one of our neighboring countries. Eh? How do we, you know, you can't.
It's okay. We can also export skilled personnel to other countries.
Yes, because the same way the Chinese do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
And then so you have to be very careful a little bit on these things of. But I heard the parliament was discussing on the acquiring from local, like if it's you have to feed the schools and other things. That is very critical. But we should make sure people should not. We should scrutinize that there is no venture between the Chinese and an African. If you procure from the villages, let's go procure from the villages. Let them tell the villagers, because you see, our people have given up. Now, if this thing is coming up, the procure from the locals, if it's chicken, they'll start looking after their chicken now.
Yeah.
Yes. And they can do it because they've done it for centuries. They still keep the, you know, how do you say it? It's like the seed of the original of their chickens, whatever they had. It's still there. How many years? It passed through generations. Even kettles, you can find that the kettles, the old kettles, are passed through generations, and they have kept them up to date. So that tells you that if they can keep the breed of that nature, still when there's something, they can expand. And we all have gone to school, we all understand a little bit whatever, to education, whatever. Then at least, then we can now start producing and providing. People do cabbage, they plow vegetables, but okay. The market is not there.
All right, let's see what others right. have to say. Yeah.
No, thanks a lot, but at least that's the best.
All right.
Thank you.
What time is 15 minutes past 9, and unpacking the day goes up to 9:30. So please, you still have about 15 minutes so for you to air your opinion and your perspective on this matter of a free tertiary education.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, longish a fat, yai, she became a E. Moyao, or Tango got it some money. Anna is a fat Yanamibia, on the Tom Banawa, Orangeka. Faith and Nina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongish a fire of Pitramo, Ekelefem Media House. We 23 Meneha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datunda tu heari jamano tano o amiaj. Ikele fem. So hi.
A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And you tune in to Unpacking, the day. So we were looking at, before the callers came through, and I'm inviting you to just use the few minutes that are still left for you to come through and have your opinion or reaction to any discussion we have taken. Either, it could be something that we have covered in the early morning scoop. You're most also welcome to come through maybe and have your reaction to that. Or something that the early discussion that I have with Mr. Simon Namesho, or any reaction to any one of the callers that came through, and you perhaps you have a different opinion than what they have said, or the point they make. You're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your contribution as well. 08333-66091. So to come through, we still have a couple of minutes before we come to the end of our program today. We were looking at some of the themes that are coming out of the article, of the stories, in the Villagers, yesterday's edition of the Villager by Justicia Shupena. So now, one thing that also looking at the other thing, also looking at who foots the bill,
looking at the implementing free education is a good idea, and everybody applauded. And but it also costs, you know. It comes at a cost. So the government has, as I said earlier, has promised actually to shoulder the burden, but with the one also have to think to be realistic in terms of our budget as well. It has been really strained, and the whole question then becomes how sustainable is this. So, and some suggested partnership with the private sectors. As I said earlier on, this is also something I discussed with Mr. Namisho this morning. And he actually indicated how and you know how UNAM, you know, work well with their partners in various aspects, you know, that contribute and complement what UNAM is trying to achieve. So yeah, I think when it comes to partnership, I think that's also depend on the institution themselves rather than the government, to make sure that they become attractive. And also maybe the government just have to look at, you know, maybe tax break or something like that. There are, ways to look at that, and that maybe would make, private sectors more interested in investing in education or becoming partner with an institution like UNAM or NAST or any other institutions. So what incentive would business have to contribute? So, but that's also the policymakers. These questions, it's a question for policymakers to address, put up some policies that create environment, conducive environment for business actually to, you know, to invest into education and to become a partner in education. So, yeah, policymakers, that's also, on you, I think. Yeah. And, while the we go through the articles as well, while the free education may produce more graduate, I think there is a sense of and this is my own word, a double-edged sword, you know. Yeah. So what it means is that, you know, while the free education may really produce graduate, so it doesn't really guarantee jobs, you understand? So, Namibia's youth unemployment already at 44.4%, raises critical concerns. Are we equipping students with degrees that align with market, with the market demands? And are we creating a workforce with qualification, but no opportunities? That has, you know, this whole, you know, this whole announcement have to be understood in that totality, if you like, you know. So, because we cannot just produce people, this graduate without job opportunities, without, opportunities in the market. So what it means is that the policy, whatever policy that may come in place, must go beyond. It must go beyond access, not just have access to education, but also address the employability. Okay? Is that an English word? Yeah. Also address that employability. So it should go beyond access to address employability. So this then include expanding maybe vocational training and aligning aligning curricula with what is our industrialization goals. Maybe we align then our curricula with our industrialization goals, so that when people comes from when they finish, they just go into sectors that are more that need these qualifications, that need these skills. Okay, so yeah, those are some of the concerns that are being highlighted in this article. And the other thing also touched on the integration of Namibia Student Financial Assistance Fund into the Ministry of Education, you know, which actually meant to streamline the process. But when this, before even this announcement, the centralizing funding was understood to create bottlenecks or leave students vulnerable to bureaucratic delays. So now the question is, will the restructuring now improve efficiency? Will it maybe increase or exacerbate the very inequalities that the policy seeks to maybe to go away with or to eliminate? So those are some of the questions. So that how will this be administered in a way that is more efficient? Would that be whole problems of, because when it was proposed, the whole thing of bureaucratic delays and all that was highlighted. So yeah, Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning.
Good morning.
I came very late, man. I was trying, but
You still have about 4 or 5 minutes. So that's still enough for you to say what you need to say.
Yeah. I think job creation, or what is the face of free education?
Yeah, there is that, you know, that we may, it's not enough just to produce. Actually, the whole question is that it's not just about access, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also we need then to address also employability. You may have now people have access to education, but now, you know, where do they end up? They still end up on the street.
Yes, that is where I'm saying. Yeah, they don't know where the country fail. Yeah, for them to see that how do we cut out, or how do we fill this gap of unemployment?
Mm.
Yeah, because if you look at in America, for example, where there are also small job market.
Yeah.
Their company is the one that are creating jobs in all over the world. So for them to bring it back, they come up with a strategy. But in our country like Namibia, we don't have Namibians that are creating jobs.
Mm.
So all of the jobs that is available, maybe 30% of it, are foreigners.
Yeah.
Which is now, if they want into creating job, unless they said they are buying out of those natural resources from foreigners.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they starting processing it. And then from there, they look in their own market, even in a small scale of marketing.
Mm. They're saying that wouldn't be that maybe a best way of, let's say for example, mining.
Yeah.
We have a share of 10%, let's just for argument's sake. And then over time, we're buying out, you know, we buy shares until eventually we own that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be maybe that the best approach of maybe later be able then to own some of this?
Of controlling what they
controlling, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So I think that is the same way. Because if you look at the Namibians that are now in the market, so they don't creating jobs, but they are the one that is getting money.
Yeah.
Out of the money relocated into boosting the business people. But you find out that the individual, they are the one that is getting those money. So because if you go, for example, you are in Ondangwa and you go to that Akapandi, say industrial setup there, you're not finding two or three people that is creating jobs there.
Yeah.
But if you go to Windhoek and you go to Prosperita, all those companies that are there, they are South African companies.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we don't have Namibians in that we can proud of saying, okay, we are now relocated about 10 billion. So let us now boosting our own Namibians, our local companies into creating jobs. So it doesn't making any sense into giving all money to Namibi Poultry, to Namibi Mills, to Bokomo, Lietfontein and all of others. But they already have investors. So they are already shareholders in their companies. So, but that is the way. I think Mene Tumbo need to discuss more with the people, not only to say, okay, this is the best way. Because if you look at in America, as I said, where there's a small market, the school, even Namibia, the school dropout, they are the one that is making living. But the graduate, they are going sitting in the houses.
Yeah.
And they're expecting to get jobs. So that is another thing which you are. Hello.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That is another which you are promoted to graduated more people and then they sit in their homes.
Yeah.
So for the other example, because of the time, if you look at Zimbabwe, for example, Zimbabwe were not having Zimbabwe and that is creating jobs. When the market collapsed, everything is went out. So yeah. the whole people. With graduate or without graduate, they learn out of the country. So those are the things that we need into learning more, because history is the lesson.
Yeah.
So that is what. But for this story of saying free education, I don't think they must just continue with NASAF. Yeah. For the children to have access on their feet, because we. On their own, how do I say it, pocket money and all of that, because inequality in Namibia is too high. So if you're paying the school fees and what, and then the child doesn't have even $10 to pay tax, so it doesn't help anything, to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah.
So I want people to dig more and think of where are we failing here? Because it's not the market, it's not even the institute. No, it's us, ourselves here. Because everybody in Namibia expecting to get jobs in the government, and if they come up with a free education of saying, okay, we need more jobs in the, we need to creating jobs in the government, as they say, the internship and what. So they have now to choose in the field, what type of field the child can go study and come back into their public entity to a public sector and all of that. So I think that is the best way for them to go. But for me, I'm not convinced to say it. Let us promoting more people to be sitting in their homes. Because if a person holding a diploma or whatever he's holding, he sit down in the house and looking all every day on the newspaper to see if there are vacancies.
Yeah.
So very, very tough game for this. But tracing to getting natural resources and looking for your own market, I think that is the best way, because you end up having the tourism industry is also boosting, because people are coming to buy in your market. It's the same as Dubai.
Yeah.
Dubai is not, Dubai doesn't have any natural resources, but they buying outside Dubai and come and marketed it in Dubai.
Yeah.
So Dubai, each and every day, people are coming, buying gold, people are coming, buying lithium, people are coming, buying what. So they are every day selling something to benefited from export, import. Yeah, those are the things that you need into creating jobs out of it. So thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you for coming through and your contribution.
You're welcome, bro.
All right. Yeah, well, that definitely brings us to
the end of our unpacking the day episode today. And please stay tuned for Mind the Gap and all the other programs that are coming your way today. And for me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a very, very good day. Until tomorrow again on the same station here on Eagle FM. So for me, have a very great day ahead listening to Eagle FM.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsie Nehangano, Leo Sherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Africans, Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend,
Ouri omunangeshefa nowahara kushivisa omayakuro oye kupitira muhoriki radio station oyo Eagle FM enyamukuro olongaha ningikwata fano na Monica kushikondo sheipindi konora hetatu imwe heyali imwe ne heyali imwe imwe nohamano that is 0817147116 momberewa konora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.